watermelon, a vegetable.
When you drop it and it goes squash.
Correct. Pay that man $11. If a little Chinese boy has a toothache, what time is it?
2:30.
Correct. Pay that man $12 because...
It pays to be ignorant. As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there, that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest selection of zanies, the incomparable wit, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and a man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
This program again with an IQ so low they struck oil. We have a board of experts who played Carnegie Hall last Sunday afternoon. Monday the place was sprayed with DDT. First we have the celebrated author, Mr. High McNaughton, who has just written the book entitled The Return of Nylon or Counterattack.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah, I know.
It takes two to make a marriage. A bachelor said to his brother, "You're right," the married man replied. A single girl and her mother.
Fine.
Little something I copied off the side of a freight car.
Okay, you should have left it there. Next, we have a woman whose face looks like she slept in it. And forgot to make it up. A woman who still uses the old-fashioned straight razor when she shaves, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Miss Howard, I'm all tired out tonight.
Yeah.
I cleaned the whole house today. Mm-hmm. I even washed all the wallpaper.
You washed all the wallpaper?
Yep. And did I have a hard time getting it back on the walls again?
Naturally.
All right, next you have a man who made a name for himself, but he doesn't like it. A man whose father was a bartender, but he forgot to put a head on him, Mr. George Young.
Did you read about the new automobiles that are coming out, Mr. Howard?
No.
Say, you press a button, a sign appears on the back saying, I'm turning to the right or I'm turning to the left.
I see.
Then they have a special sign on the cars for women drivers.
What does that sign say?
Guess what I'm going to do now.
You just let the experts, folks. So here is the first question for this evening. Let's see if we can get it. Now,
yes.
You told me the name of the man for whom the overture from William Tell was named.
Mr. Howard, is that a musical question?
Well, you could call it a musical question.
I could?
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Howard. Mr. Howard said I could call it a musical question. Isn't that nice?
Ah, play. Mr. McNaughton, do you mind if I call you an imbecile?
If you promise not to call it to anyone else. You know, I'm the jealous type.
All right. Yeah. The overture from William Tell is named after who?
What's the point, then?
What are you talking about?
Well, didn't you say the overture of William Tell was named after whom?
Certainly.
Well, what whom? What's the point, then? Is it Harry whom or Frank whom or what?
Cut it out. For whom the bell's tolled. Does that satisfy you?
I don't know him.
You don't know what you're talking about.
No, well, you don't know what I'm talking about either.
You said it.
I know I said it.
Do you know Miss McConnell?
No, I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't mean that. Do you know anything about the overture from William Tell?
No. He never made any overtures to me. As I'm concerned, he's a perfect gentleman. I'm sorry to say.
You're sorry.
Mr. Howard, tell me, did you say William Tell?
William Tell.
Yes, I know his brother down on Wall Street. Tell him Tell.
Tell him.
Comes of a very good stock.
I see. All right, curb yourself.
Is this William Tell chap the fella who shot an apple off his son's head?
That's right.
With a bow and arrow?
That's right.
You mean he shot his son's head off with an apple?
No. He shot his son's apple off with a hat.
Who's that?
Will you wait a minute? Look, this man was an expert shot with a bow and arrow. To prove it, he shot an apple off his son's head without hitting the head.
Oh, come. He couldn't have been such an expert shot if he missed his head.
Look, he didn't want to hit his head.
Why?
Mr. Sheldon, why were you born?
That's a good question. Who said that is?
Speaking about shooting, I make some very good shots out on the golf course.
Yeah, what kind of shots?
Well, you see, instead of using a wooden tee to tee off with, I use my watch for a tee.
Yeah.
And I shoot the golf ball off the face of the watch.
You do?
Yes.
That's clever.
But I lose a lot of watches that way.
I imagine.
Time marches off.
Ah, cut it out.
You know, I'm quite a shot myself, if I may say so.
You may say so.
Oh, thank you. I'm quite a shot myself. You know, once I won a silver cup.
When did you win a silver cup?
And another thing.
When did you win a silver cup?
And another thing.
When did you win a silver cup?
Boy, I wish I had what I have you in it.
Takes them a little time to get started. Yeah. That's thrashing it. In a nursery rhyme which starts, "Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard," can you tell me what she went to the cupboard for?
Mr. Howard, did you say Old Mother Hubbard?
That's right.
How old was she?
Oh, please, who cares? What difference does it make? We're told that the woman was old. That should be enough.
Certainly. Now, how are you
going to
find out how old any woman is?
You're perfectly right, Mr. Connell. You're perfectly right.
Oh, I got brains. I'm not just a pretty face.
Oh, no. You're not just a face, either, I'll tell you that. You know what Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard for, Mr. Shelton?
Certainly not. It's none of my business. I didn't go around snooping to see what people have got in their cupboard. I'm no FBI man.
You know, I used to be an FBI man.
You did?
Mm.
Federal Bureau of Investigation?
No, Fuller Brush Incorporated. I made a couple of bucks.
All right, the question's about nursery rhymes. Look, let me help you out. Mother Hubbard had a dog.
Oh, I have a dog. Yes. I take him out every morning for a walk.
Oh, really? Do you have him on a leash?
On a leash? No, I own him outright.
You own him outright.
No lend leash.
No lend leash. Ah, cut it out. As I said before, Mother Hubbard had a dog. She went to the cupboard.
Who went to the cupboard? The dog?
No, Mother Hubbard.
What'd you go to the cupboard for?
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, that's it. You know, Mr. Shelton?
No, that's why I'm not going to tell him.
Good for you. Good for you, old boy. If I didn't know, I wouldn't tell him either.
Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get something for her dog. Look, Mr. Carroll, what do you get at the butcher shop?
Insurance.
Maybe I can help you out. Let me give you a clue. Don't you ever have any bones around your house?
No. But after looking at you, there ought to be plenty around your house.
Thank you.
You know, I remember one time I got a bone stuck in my throat.
You got a bone stuck in your hat, too.
I know. You know, Mr. Howard, I have a very, very smart dog.
You have a smart dog?
Oh. You know that I taught him to sit up and beg?
Yeah?
First day he took in $7.
He did? Clay.
I gave him a dollar.
You know, I know a lady paid $10,000 for a dog.
$10,000 for a dog?
Yep.
Well, that's more than I'm worth.
Uh-huh. Well, some dogs are worth more than others.
You know, our dog had 12 pups yesterday.
12 pups?
Yeah.
My word, what's your dog's name?
We call him Motorboat. It's nothing but pup, 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 pup.
God! Contestants, while Mr. Roberts is getting the folks up here, we are compelled to listen to our orchestra. As the saying goes, into each life a little rain must fall. Here is the Cloudbird. Dr. Novick and his Hungarian gibbeters. Dr. Novick.
Okay, wait a minute, Mr. Howard. My cousin just came down from the farm. He's a great trumpet player.
Oh.
Do you mind if he sat in with the boys? He might improve them.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure it can hurt the orchestra, I mean.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Go ahead, Elmer. Give.
Give? What do you mean, give?
I don't want to...
Wait a minute, look. Yeah. That's your cousin?
Let him alone.
Ah, say, what is this anyhow?
Well, wait a minute. He's got a partner, don't he? Oh, these guys are all strangers to him. He don't know them.
Yeah, they're the strangest things to me, too, I ever saw. I want some music.
All right, you get music. You get something you never heard before in your life.
I believe you.
Clock, yes.
All right, let me have some music. Dr. Novick, please. Do me a favor, take that cousin of yours back to the farm and plow him under, will you please? Mr. Roberts, who is our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant tonight, Mr. Howard, is Sergeant John Ortiz of the United States Army.
Fine. That's good. Good evening, Sergeant Ortiz, and welcome to our program. And thank you a lot for coming up. How do you feel, Sergeant?
Very well.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad to hear that. You certainly do look in the pink of condition. Where's your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia. Good old Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, PA.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Well, rub me with sandpaper and call me itchy.
Yes.
I used to work in that town.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was a banker in a baker shop.
You were a banker in a baker shop?
I used to handle all the dough.
You got an awful crust there, Mr. Gallant.
Well, I needed it.
All right, you needed it. Pay no attention to the sergeant. He has softening of the head. How long have you been in the service?
3 years.
3 years. Fine, my boy, and congratulations. Are you still in or about to be discharged?
Still in.
Oh, you're still in. Well, one thing I bet you're thankful for, that this mess is over.
Yes, I am.
I bet you are.
You know, Sergeant, it's very easy over to tell the war is over, you know? Mm. I saw a girl on the street today wink at a civilian. As you know, the old fool followed her for 10 blocks. Boy, was I tired.
Wheelchair. What did you do before you entered? My voice is changing. You notice how
you're at that age?
Yes, I am. What did you do before you entered the service?
I was a client.
I'm not talking to you. You were a what, Sergeant?
I did accounting.
You did accounting in Philadelphia?
That's right.
For who would you count? You might as well give the firm a plug.
The shipyard.
The shipyard, yeah. Well, that's a good plug.
You get a better
plump
down at the race.
You get a better. Very clever, Mr. Sheldon. Do you expect to go back to that work when you're through with
it? Yes, I plan to.
You plan to. Well, that's good, and I wish you all the success in the world. I sure do.
So do I. What's your first name, honey?
John.
What?
John, he said.
I am John.
Why will you take that earmuff off and say it? Yes, it's a good... Good relax.
I want to tell you about Johnny.
Yeah, all right.
Why don't you just call me Novocaine?
Novocaine.
I always keep a stiff upper lip.
Yeah. And you're just as big a dope, too.
I cannot. You owe the cane nerves.
Pay no attention to them, Sergeant. Will you do us a favor as long as you're here? Will you reach into the dunce cap and pick out a question for us, please? When you get one, would you be kind enough to read it right into the microphone?
What vegetables mentioned in the picture, the corn is green?
Thank you. What vegetable is mentioned in the picture, the corn is green?
Mr. Hart, who's in the picture?
Ah, please, Mr. McNaughton, what difference does it make?
My dear old boy, it makes a lot of difference. I may want to go and see the picture. And if I'm going to see the picture, I most surely want to know who's going to be in it.
Yeah, but you don't have to see it. Nobody asked you to see it.
Not as yet, but someone might ask you to go and see it. I have friends, you know.
I see.
I have many, many friends.
Name a few.
What?
I say name a few of your friends.
Name a few? Well, there's I'm sure I had some friends.
Yeah, I saw.
You mean you have no friends? How do your friends meet?
Oh, thank you so much, Miss McConnell. Shame. Friends to the end.
Friends to the end.
Could you loan me $10?
That's the end.
Please, what vegetable is mentioned in the picture, the corn is green? Would you know, Mr. Shelton?
No, I didn't see the picture.
I told you, you don't have to see the picture.
Now you don't want me to see the picture. What's the matter with you, you old bus? You don't want nobody to enjoy themselves at all? What's the matter with you? You a natural-born grouch, or was your mother scared by a lemon?
My.
You old sour puss.
All right. What vegetable is mentioned in the picture? The corn is green. The question is about vegetables.
Oh, vegetables. Oh, I had a lovely vegetable garden this summer, yes. But it wore me out, you know. Wore me up, jumping up and down on the potato plant.
Will you tell me what you were doing, jumping up and down on a potato plant?
Yes, I wanted to raise mashed potatoes.
You wanted to raise... What makes you such a perfect idiot?
Oh, I got an early start.
My old man eats a lot of potatoes.
Oh, really? But he shouldn't eat potatoes, you know. They've got a lot of starch in them.
No wonder he's always shit.
You know, my Uncle Westwood is raising automobiles up on his farm.
He's raising automobiles up on his farm?
Yeah, I got a letter from him. He says he's got a truck farm.
He's got... You're going to what? You're going to raise what?
Cabbage.
I see. Well, raise one for yourself, will you, please? Will you try and answer the question?
Listen, I spent 2 weeks up at my Uncle Webfoot's farm this summer. Oh, I loved it up there. I just love to milk cows.
That's a good job for a jerk.
I
know, we've got a novelty. We've got a Japanese cow up on our farm.
What do you mean you got a Japanese cow?
Well, she's afraid of the Yanks.
She's afraid of the Yanks. Can we please get back to the question?
I used to live on a farm, but I was always afraid of cows.
You what?
They could never get me to milk them. So one day I decided to take the bull by the horns.
You'll never get milk that way.
Our next contestant, Mr. Howard, is a very lovely and charming young lady. Seaman first class, Wilma Stoddard of the Spy.
Fine. Right? That's just fine. Good evening, Miss Stoddard, and we are very glad you came up. How do you feel this evening, Miss Stoddard?
Just a little bit frightened.
Well, don't be frightened. There's nothing to be frightened of. Just keep your face turned my way, and you won't see them. I don't mind. I don't blame you at all, but Bob.
She's got tits around him and she wants him to...
All right. Let's get on here. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us, Miss Stoddard?
Walla Walla, Washington.
Walla Walla, Washington. Oh, yeah. Walla Walla. Very nice place.
Well, it must be. They named it twice.
I see. Yes, sir, I remember Walla Walla quite well. I played that town. I played there in 1902. I was 3 years old at the time.
If you were 3 years old, you were in your second childhood.
Thank you, Miss McCown.
I spent 2 lovely weeks vacation there.
In Walla Walla?
No, Coney Island.
Coney Island.
Under the boardwalk.
Uh-huh. A week on each island, I suppose. As I started to say, I went down to the station the day I went to Walla Walla. I discovered after I got there I didn't have enough money to pay my fare, so I just bought a ticket to Walla, you see. It was cheap. Well, we are certainly glad to how long have you been in New York?
About 5 days.
What are you doing, just on a visit or on leave?
No, sir, I'm on leave.
Oh, you're on leave. Okay. Are you enjoying it yourself?
Very much so.
That's nice. Have you ever been to New York before?
No, sir, I haven't.
Oh, this is the first time?
That's right.
Well, that's interesting. How do you like New York?
I think it's wonderful.
You do? Fine. Great. I'm glad to
hear it. What are you doing after the show?
Never mind. Please.
Miss Stoddard.
She has a great opinion of New York. Let her keep it, will you, Miss
I'm going to get it in if it kills me, you know.
Well, are you going to say something, Mr. McGrath?
I was about to say that Miss Stoddard is a very charming lady.
Oh,
very
I
lovely
thought...
girl.
I imagine. I agree with you.
And
too.
Even with small eyes.
I see.
She's so refreshing, so relaxed. She's so restful.
Let's sleep while In a spring
mattress,
I said.
Miss McConnell, I'm afraid your dentist didn't give you a very good fit on your new teeth. That's terrible. Never mind what kind of a mattress you must sleep on.
I wonder how we could find out.
Will you come out? Will you stop embarrassing the young lady? What did you do before you entered the service, Miss Stoddard?
I did commercial artwork.
Commercial artwork?
Yes, sir.
That is drawing and sketching of different things for advertising purposes, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
I see. My cousin used to be an art sketcher like that. He made dollar bills. He made one mistake. He forgot himself and put sunglasses on Washington.
I used to be an artist too, Miss Howard.
Yeah.
I used to draw flies.
I imagine. You're still working at it. Well, we're very glad to have you with us, I'm sure. Did you say you had a girl too, Miss?
Yeah, I got a girl. I didn't say. How do you have been opening my mail or something? Who minds your own business? Yes, I got a girl. Nice girl named Ollie.
Ollie, yeah.
Ollie?
Yeah, Ollie O'Margarine.
Yeah.
Of course, he's just a substitute.
I never mind. Will you reach into the gun cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And would you be good enough to read the question, if you don't mind?
What does a motorcycle cop ride on?
That's very good. You heard the question, what does a motorcycle cop ride on?
What does a motorcycle cop ride on?
Right.
Would you mind repeating the question, what does a motorcycle cop ride on?
Ain't that awful? You repeat, look. Mr. McNaughton, how did they ever keep you out of the home for the feeble-minded?
Politics. Just dirty politics.
The question is, what does a motorcycle cop ride on?
I didn't know the answer to that. My brother-in-law was once connected with the police.
In what way?
By a pair of handcuffs.
What was he arrested for?
Fragrancy.
Fragrancy. You mean vagrancy.
I mean fragrancy. He stole 5 bottles of perfume.
My old man's in jail again.
Oh, really? What for?
For rocking me to sleep.
How could they put him in jail for just rocking you to sleep?
But you should see the size of the rocks he used.
Is he out yet?
No, they put his solitary confinement.
Yeah, what for?
They caught him making toast on the electric chair.
I bet he used currant jelly on the toast, too.
Great! Not currant jelly. That's terrible. Miss McConnell, I'm not interested in your old man.
Well, I should hope you wouldn't be.
Look, haven't any of you ever seen a motorcycle cop?
Rather, Mr. Howard, I have. I saw one last Sunday.
Fine. What was he riding on?
Highway 35.
Highway 35.
He was a tall chap, had long eyelashes.
All right.
I've often wondered, you know, Mr. Howard, what's the white line in the middle of the highway for?
Oh, that's the bicycle.
That's the bicycle.
Worse.
The question is about motorcycle cops.
I met one of those motorcycle cops once.
Yeah.
He gave me a ticket for going 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, but the speed limit is 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, but not on the sidewalk.
You know, they have a new law out now for motorists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any car going 60 miles an hour has got to have a driver.
Well, folks, that brings us right up to the finish line, so says Mr. Pelagi. So we'll just have to call it quits until this time next week. We'd like to have you all to listen again. Now, here's that gargling baritone to tell you just what we mean when we say...
It's time to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dumb, to be ignorant. It's time to be ignorant, just like me. I took my girl to dinner. We had a wonderful...
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week. And here it's proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
You want me?